This is URN.
This is Everyone You Know, and you're listening to URN.
I'm Catherine from University Radio Nottingham, and I'm joined by Reese and Harvey from the duo Everyone You Know. So first of all, how are you guys doing today?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Yeah, all good, cheers.
Nice to be in Nottingham.
So you guys are a little over halfway, about three quarters of the way through your UK tour at the moment. What's been the most memorable moment so far?
It'd be hard to pick one, I think. Literally every show has been class so far. There's like every show's had its own special moment, so I think it'd be hard to pick one special moment of the tour.
I think for me, yeah, I completely agree with Reese, but I think Leeds stands out at the moment. But yeah, every single show has been, they've all been as good as each other in their own individual ways, so it's hard to pick out one.
And after Nottingham, we've got a little 5-day break. Have you got any plans for that?
We've actually got a wedding on Saturday, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a wedding. We've got a cousin's wedding Saturday. I think Friday we've got a photo shoot for Reebok. Thursday, I'm taking my daughter swimming. And then tomorrow, we got a meal, didn't we, with the label.
A lunch.
So, yeah, we're off tour, but we're still being active.
I also have to ask, because you're hitting up some big cities, you know, Birmingham, Leeds, London, etc. I noticed you're also doing a gig in St Albans.
Yeah.
Is there any particular reason why there?
Yeah, so basically last year when we were sort of first put out Our Generation and whatnot, but even before that actually, so when we first started like gigging.
Yeah, we had no music out.
Yeah, we had nothing out, and they just let us play there. We were playing there pretty much every week for like a few months straight. So we said when we actually put music out and come around to touring, we'll go back there and actually do a ticketed show there, which is wicked. And I think that's sold out now as well, which is sick.
Yeah. It's nice to see the progression from like playing there to a handful of people to now going back there a year later on and it's being sold out. So it's good to see.
And you guys grew up in Uxbridge, right? Is that right?
Yeah, so I grew up just outside of it, like a mile outside of Uxbridge in Reese.
I grew up by Bracknell.
So I've seen some things online. You guys have said there's not much to do there, and that's kind of like the reason why you got into music. But like personally, when I grew up in a similar area to you. I wanted to be in the mix in London, but now as I've gotten older, I've kind of grown to appreciate the quiet a bit. Is that, would you say that's the same for yourselves, or you still kind of want to be in the mix?
Exactly the same as like when I was younger, like primary school sort of time. I would always say to my mom, when I get older, I can't wait to move into London and like be on the trains and all that. And then I guess as you get older, you kind of just, I don't know, appreciate what you've got and realise that London's a hectic place and like it's right where we are. I mean, I don't think I'd ever move into the city. I don't know about you.
So as soon as I had my daughter, I was like, I'm lucky to have the space and just a sort of a little bit slower pace of life that we have just outside of London. You know, we can still get into London within half hour, but we've got everything's a little bit slower pace and a little bit karma, which is what I like.
If you can at all, could you defend the outskirts of London in a way that it can influence you as an artist? Because I know people talk about the city being so influential.
When you're in a city, I think people tend to sort of live in this bubble. But when you're like on the outskirts, you kind of like you get a chance to look in on that, on the bubble and what's going on, and then you can come out and reflect on what's around you. Do you know what I mean? So you're not actually stuck in the like chaos all the time.
And I think as well, being sort of outside the city, like we said, you've got to make things happen for yourself. I think like in like London, not that there's more opportunities or anything, but there's more stuff going on.
Yeah.
So you can sort of just, you can like there's stuff happening on your doorstep, you know what I mean? Whereas when you live outside of London, you've got to sort of be like proactive and make the effort to go in and get yourself about and stuff, you know what I mean? So it's sort of, it just makes you a bit more, proactive.
There's more competition in major cities as well. Like if you're on the outskirts, I'm sure it's the same for Reese as well, but where I live, there was like two or three other people within probably a five mile radius of where I live that were doing the same thing as me. So when you're in London, like Reese said, there's so much going on and so much like literally on your doorstep that I think you can kind of get lost in that, in the mix to a certain extent.
A bit in your head.
So I'm up with where we've
it's wicked to be able to go into London, and we love it, you know what I mean? But it's also nice to be able to come out and have your own space outside of it as well. So I think we've got the best of both worlds personally.
Listening to your music, it's clear you've got a lot of different influences. I can hear elements of like rap, kind of house, drum and bass a bit as well. All of that stuff in my opinion is quite cool. Do you have any guilty pleasures?
So I love like all like the 80s, like that synth pop.
I love Dominic Fike, Three Nights is a banger.
That's not even a guilty pleasure, that's a class tune, mate.
That's a banger.
I'm proper fussy when it comes to music, but
I love not really a guilty pleasure, but...
Oh, wait, Harvey's first CD he ever bought was Chico Time.
Yeah.
Bang, and he still has it, and he still listens to it in his car.
And Bob the Builder. And I play golf and snooker, so what can I say?
To be fair, I have the Shrek 2 soundtrack in my car, so...
In the car as well?
Yeah. So, previously you've said in your interviews that your overall sound is very much influenced by the different types of music you listened to growing up, but there's a bit of an age gap between you. So... I feel like the crucial time where everyone kind of discovers music when they're like in their early teens, you would have both been listening to kind of different stuff. Do you find that each of you leans towards a different style of genre slightly just based on what you grew up listening to?
I think because we've got the same parents who come from the same background.
Yeah, we sort of grew up listening to the same
stuff, innit?
Yeah, and also like it was one of them sort of, if I had a new CD, like I would get hold of it, or my dad got a new CD, I'd get hold of it, and we saw everyone was sort of just listening to the same stuff, so... When you're at school and that, you sort of listen to different things.
Yeah.
But I think like when I was first in school, like Lily Allen, Jamie T, Arctic Monkeys and stuff, were like everyone was banging to, or like the other side of stuff, like all like grime was really popping off then, and Tiny Temper and like his early stuff before Passed Out and all that, was like everyone had it on their phones and stuff. But in terms of what we actually like listened to, it was because of our parents that like, influenced us to listen to the hip hop and jungle and. Like,
my dad used to he used to DJ, so he used to like burn CDs for us. So he'd burn like a CD with like all the tunes he was listening to, which were like before we were even born, something
like that. Yeah, exactly.
And then we'd then get the CD. So it was never like we were waiting for like now on Spotify, we've got New Music Friday, so you go on that and you check out what's come out that week. Whereas we were like waiting for like the new CD from my dad almost, you know what I mean? So it was always kind of like stuff that was. Definitely before my time, you were probably only 3 or 4 when some of those tunes come out.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like with the Wu-Tang and Biggie and all that. Yeah, it probably would have come out like the year I was born. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, in terms of like, yeah, you have the sort of different things that you're into just because what's like popular at your school at the time. But in terms of our main influences and what we're into, that came from my parents. So.
I noticed as well you guys like including skits in your EPs. What's the significance of that for you?
I think skits, like going back to the music we grew up on from our dad and that, they were always in the albums, especially hip-hop albums, always had skits. And like as we've grown up, they seem to have kind of like disappeared to a certain extent. So it's always been for us like a nice part of an album or an EP where it like takes everything away from the music and you can kind of get an insight into the artist's life. So we just felt it was important to like get that side of things involved in the music and kind of get like our mates involved and sort of.
And your daughter Reese was in the track Waste Your Love on Me, right?
Yeah,
so that's a particularly personal track for you, would you say?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, cool. And it was nice how it just happened as well. She just came in as I was recording the tune because I was recording it in my bedroom. She just came in, so just thought I'd leave it in there, you know. It just made sense. So yeah, no, it's really cool. Of course, having your daughter on a tune is always going to be like special. So yeah, it's wicked.
And recently, your guys' single "She Don't Dance" was included on the FIFA 20 soundtrack.
Yeah,
congratulations, by the way. So, how did you find about that? And like, do you remember where you were when you found out about that?
I think that kind of happened over email, wasn't it? But it weren't confirmed to start with. It was like
we literally had to wait for the game to come out to know
to find out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it might like we want to use your tune on FIFA. And then no one heard anything. And then they sort of they were like, "Oh yeah, your tune's on FIFA." When the game came out, we're like, "Oh, sick!"
it was kind of like you might be on there, but you've got to wait like 3-4 months to find out.
Yeah, it wasn't something we could go out and celebrate because we didn't know if it was definitely happening. When the game finally came out, we were like, "All right, cool." We were buzzing, but yeah, it wasn't. We were obviously excited with the news, but it wasn't something we were like we didn't know it was guaranteed.
Go out and celebrate because we were like, I don't want to go out and
celebrate
something that might happen. So.
And so you've got 2 EPs. Is it the beginning of an album, or is that an annoying question?
Like, we're like massively into albums. We always say albums are like what defines you as an artist. And I think we, like, if we had it our own way, we'd probably gone straight with an album to start with, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, it's not the singles and stuff from these EPs. None of the tunes will be on the album. You know what I mean? That will be completely, when we get around to it, it'll be completely. Like fresh new material.
Okay.
By the time we get around to making and releasing an album, the tunes, not that they would have aged at all, but they, I think we always want to progress and sort of always better ourselves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the album comes out, She Don't Dance will probably be 2 years old, our generation will probably be 3 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. So
one final question, because your music is kind of rave influence, would you say?
Yeah.
So if you had to dream up your like ideal rave, so line up, where it's going to be hosted, maybe there's a theme, who knows? What would you do?
That's a good question. On the lineup, I'd definitely have Prodigy on there. I'd have Wu-Tang Clan. I'd have Sci-FX on there. I'd probably have Getz on there.
Kano.
Then I'd have to slide it down towards the end of the night when everyone's fully buckled. You'd have to get the other sing-alongs.
Okay.
Oasis, don't
yeah, you'd have to get. Arctic you'd have to have Monkeys. Oasis, Arctic Monkeys. You'd have to yeah. You have to get some of that on there to slow the night right down, you know, and get the old singing on this game.
This is URN.